Let's read from the book of Romans tonight. I think we'll start reading from the first verse of the first chapter. I don't know just exactly what I talked to you about. I've got so many things in my heart. I've been preaching for years, and I've said hundreds and thousands of things in my lifetime. As a matter of fact, there's a few thousand tapes here, and there's thousands and thousands of sermons and testimonies that's never been taped here and around the world. But even with all of that, there's so much in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit. Till as David of old said, I'm filled up and overflowing. The Lord fills my cup. We sing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. And the Lord fills my cup and makes my cup to overflow. You know, I know when I say that, a lot of times somebody would say, well, I don't know about that. I'm sure you don't. But I do know about that. Let's give the Lord a hand. So it's like a man that he don't have much money. The other fellow's got a whole pocket full. Man, it ain't got none. He don't know about that. But the fellow's got a pocket full. He knows all about that. He's enjoying the spending of it. All right. I have a heart filled up. As a matter of fact, there's so much in my heart to tell you and to tell the world about Jesus and the wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that... When I come up here, I hardly know where to start. And I don't know what to talk about because I have so many things I want to say. And people in the world today are dull of hearing, and you just have to say a little bit to them and go on. And that's all you can do. I know we love to tell ourselves that we are not dull of hearing. We just love to hear. But after about 45 minutes, we're mostly ready to go home and take a relaxation, and then we'll wait till next time to get some more. But a man that's hungry, he eats all the time. He just don't ever stop eating. You know, like a cow, he'll nibble grass all day long and then lay down most of the night and chew the cud. Bible said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And folks, I stay hungry all the time. Though he fills me up, in a little while I'm all hungry again and I'm wanting something else again. So I eat all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. Day and night I meditate in his laws. And I just love to do it. And because of that, my treasure chest is just filled up and overflowing. And I thank the Lord for that. And wherever I can find a listening ear, wherever I can say something, then I say something. Immediately I start talking about something about Jesus. And everybody you meet practically, they want to talk about cars and houses and money and land and education and talk about themselves and talk about people. And if they're not saying good things about people, they're gossiping about people. They want to do one way or another, you know. They're either finding fault or whatever. But no matter if I talk with them, if I talk with them about the good things of people, whether I talk to them about the bad things of people, whether I talk to them about cars or houses, whatever, after I talk to them just a few minutes, I'm going to convert the conversation. I only talk to them just for a few minutes to get their attention or to engage in conversation with them. And my mind just seems to translate. And I hear them talking about the beautiful mansions. And I said, boy, isn't that wonderful, a mansion? Ooh, that must cost a lot of money. Jesus said, I go to prepare a mansion. Let's give the Lord a hand. You know, and they say, well, I'm interested in cattle. I said, cattle, now there's the way to get rich quick. The Bible said, my father owns the cattle of 1,000 head. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. And they say, well, I think I'll plant me a crop. I said, that's wonderful. Like Jesus said, say not so many months and then the harvest, for it's ready to harvest right now. Look on the fields, they're white unto harvest right now. And he that enters in and reap shall receive wages unto eternal life. So then this is the way I see it, you know. If they talk about education, I say, well, that's what we need is a diplomacy from God and that heavenly understanding to have the mind of God. That's what it's all about. You want to lay up treasures? I say, that's wonderful. It's good to have security in the bank. And that is in the bank of heaven, to lay up your treasures where thieves don't break through and steal and moth don't corrupt. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. You love the Lord? Praise God. So if you want to talk about money, that's good. You know, that's fine. If you want to talk about love, I'm in love with Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus? The greatest lover I've ever found in my life. And as David of old said, his love excels that of women. Let's give the Lord another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm just speaking from a man's viewpoint. I'm sure the woman would say that excels that of a man. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. All right. So then, he said, I'll be a husband to the widow. And I'll be a father to the orphans. He's a provider to the poor. Let's read. Can we read? He said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about God's rights. God's rights. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith has spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established, that I may be confident together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Chapter 2, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, but thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patience continue in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. All right, we reach here in the 16th verse of this first chapter. And Paul is dealing with the Romans, and he says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And then he said, as to the gospel, herein is the righteousness of God revealed. And I've tried to press upon you in the last little bit that we have the heavenly treasure as to the wonderful things given to us in Christ Jesus. We have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. Now, when you say heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, what you are saying is that there is a knowledge of God. And the Bible said God has given us all things through this wonderful knowledge of Christ. So then he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but did not try to make of himself a reputation. But he humbled himself as to that of a servant, even to the washing of the feet, to leave us an example. And so then, when we think of the wonderful things of God as to a treasure, then we know that it is the knowledge of God, that he hath given us all things that pertain unto life through the wonderful knowledge of God. Or I say knowledge means to know, that is to the revealing of this, as to the mystery of God made a revelation or an understanding to you and I. You know, it's so bad to me. It seems so bad as I think about the different people that I meet, hundreds and thousands and millions of people there are around the world. We preach to them by radio and television and tent ministry and crusades and whatever it might be by the printed page. And I find so many of these that we personally meet and encounter as through our travels. And these people do not know anything about the deep mysteries of Christ, or they do not understand the spiritual things of God. And all they know is a surface relation to God, and they relate to God in a surface manner, as to say, just with the printed page, and that's all they know. And that's good. If you don't know anything else, hold fast to that. See, but at the same time, try to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature of that perfect man, going on to full reward. And that in this, turn that word into spirit, for it is life. And it's never life until it's changed in the spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. When I look at this Bible, it's a printed page. And I appreciate the printed page because we need the printed page. It is a guideline for us. But see, the printed page is not life. We need spirit and we need life. There is no life without the spirit. You must of necessity have spirit to have life. I can give you a book. I can give you a diploma, see, from high school, from college, whatever. And you can treasure it and you can keep it right with you. And that's great. That's wonderful. That's nice to have those things. That's nice. But on the other hand, if at any time God should call for your spirit, then you'd be helpless and there wouldn't be any life. Because the body without the spirit is dead. So then the spirit is the main thing. See, people feed the body. People care for the body. They medically take care of the body. They lay up treasures for the body. They make sure that the body is well taken care of. They have houses for it to live in. They have cars for it to ride in. They have all kinds of things to delight the taste of the body because they're relative to the world by the means of their five human senses. And the five human senses is contrary to God. Your senses are altogether contrary to God. They will not listen to God. They do not believe in God. The devil has them in bondage, and you relate to the world, to the tangible forms of matter, because of your human senses. And your human senses will not believe in God. They deny God. They will not accept God. They do not believe in God. They have nothing to do with God. They don't want anything about God other than the satisfaction that they are going to heaven and that everything is going to be all right at the time when they go to cross the Jordan, as we say. And that principally is all they care about God. But God doesn't want it like that. He doesn't want me to lean to my own understanding. He doesn't want me to have the intellectual diplomacies of life as to lean upon, or cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help, or that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. If you lean upon your five human senses, you're going to hear the doctor say, "I'm sorry, I wished I could help, but you know you're just gone." And if you lean upon your human senses, you're going to find a day of poverty. You're going to find a day when your strength gives out. A day when your sight is gone and your hearing is no more. You're going to find a day when it may be amputation of your legs or your arms or some bad disease on the inside of you. You know, no matter how great you become as a celebrity or some great dignitary, then it doesn't matter. All those things are wonderful. You know, but that doesn't matter. One of these days, leaning upon the arm of flesh, you're going to find that you've been cursed, or you're under the curse, or you've never escaped the curse because you're still in the flesh. Whereas the Bible said we're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God is in you, and if you have not his spirit, then you're none of his. So then we find that these things will fail us. The human senses is going to fail us. Satan uses these to take us into a trap. Our human senses, our human reasoning is the worst detriment of life. There's not a greater detriment of life than human senses as to real life. So then we must have the mind of Christ. We must cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. Not to lean to our own understanding, because it's infiltrated with the powers of Lucifer and the mind of Satan. So we've got to eradicate that. We've got to completely transformate our minds, that by the translation of our spirit into the spirit of Christ, that our minds can, by measure, proportionally speaking, over a period of time, be transformated into the mind of Christ, and we're able to bear it. And then the life of Christ being made manifest through this mind, as to the measure of this mind that we possess, to make it manifest within our mortal genes, as to that celestial life and that celestial body that brings forth. That is, that comes forth by the word, because the word is spirit and life. And God has spoken all things into existence by his word. He upholds all things by his word. He sent his word and healed them. It's by faith in the word that you're saved, and that not of yourselves. It is God who is the word, and the word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So then the word is everything, the same to 1,000 generations, unaltered, unchanged, never failing, and the word will not fail. And God by the word said, "Let there be," and all things emanated from the word, and the word shall not fail to any generation. He that hath faith, the Bible said, and the Jews had the word, but they did not mix it with faith, it did not profit them. But when the word comes and you believe, then the word comes to life, and the word then will heal you and save you and break the yoke and cast out the unclean spirits and give you the blessings of prosperity and health and happiness that you need. with the mind of Christ. Let this mind that knows all about God, this mind that knows everything that God has for you, this mind that is going to give you all things just by understanding and believing in it, this mind that is wrought while in the body of Jesus, all that needs to be wrought as to finish your works and to do away with your sins and iniquities, that they should be no more. Let this mind be in you, that it might talk to you, that it might reveal itself to you, that it might become spirit and change you into what it is as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so then it was like I was telling Brother Grady the other day, we was talking, I believe it was yesterday maybe. See, what are we? I am what the mind of Christ has made me. If I have my diplomacies as to life, my spirit be gone, what good can that do me? Life is in the spirit. If I have this book as to the printed page, though I be a real scholar, if the spirit of this life isn't here, then what doth it profit me? Because God is a spirit, and all this word is a doorway as to get into your heart, to catch your mind, to pick up your listening ear. It is a doorway between heaven and earth. Jesus said as to the word made flesh, I am the way, I am the door to the sheepfold. By me you can go in and out to the green pastures. So then, as I was telling Grady, I said, Grady, the word says that we are gods. Now, I say for sure I believe that, Brother Pike. As someone would say, or I would say to you, I believe that, my brother, my sister. But do we believe that? We say, of course we believe that, Brother Pike. We believe that because the Bible says that. Well, that's what the preacher is for, is to test your faith and find out if you're believing or making believe. Because here's the thing. If I believe that I am a God, oh my God, somebody says, nay. But I noticed that since we made that little statement a number of years ago, that, as I said the other night, they're saying on television, they're using it on television. Brother Grady was telling me that he went into a prison to minister to somebody, and there was somebody from one of the churches over in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe Brother Paul, or he was connected with him somehow or another back in there, and said that as he sat there, he heard him saying that dogs beget dogs and men beget man and gods beget man, or gods. So then, we are gods. We are gods because the Bible says we're gods. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that. Let's analyze that first. I don't believe that we're gods, Brother Pike. All right, then if you don't believe that you are a god, then what does that make you? It makes you an animal. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so then there's not much need for me to talk to you animals. Because all I can do is just teach you as to a make-believe, to say, roll over, set up, give me your paw. See, Jesus said dogs and swine. Now, I didn't say that. He said that. And I'm just saying what he said. The sow will go back to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog will go back to his vomit. That's why you can't get them out of the world. See, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the Bible said, he that hath the love of the world in him, the love of the Father isn't there. So the world, he has said in their heart, and they cannot find the beginning or end. But God has taken the world out of your heart, and he has placed the kingdom of God within your heart. And now this great light, as I make mention of, as to this great knowledge and understanding, this unveiled knowledge of God, the unveiled mystery, this light to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, great light has sprang up unto them. And this light has shined in darkness, and they that are of the intellectual darkness, the Bible said they cannot see when good cometh, because Satan, even the prince of darkness, even the god of this world, have blinded their eyes that they cannot see. So then we know that the eyes of their understanding is blinded, and the Bible said, and this light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But folks, we're not children of darkness, we're children of light. So then it says that we comprehend this wonderful truth of God, this wonderful light of God. We comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this wonderful, wonderful thing of God. So then we realize that we are gods. What is a god? What is a god? A god is something that cannot die. How many times have I said that to you? A god is something that cannot die. Because a god is in this generation. And then when the generation is gone, the other generation has been taught as they come forth to worship this god. And as that generation begins to recede in life, then they teach the next generation that's coming on that they should worship this god. So this great God continues on and on. A god is something that cannot die. Men are born to die. But gods, they come forth to live. In this case, we are born again. We are born in the godship, which means the washing of regeneration or changing generations by the washing of the water of the word, which means the spirit of the word. And we come to acknowledgement of our godship. Not that we just become gods, because the Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was and brought to recognition our light or made an expose at Calvary are down through the church ages to the generations as they're born into the world and they come to Calvary as in their day. See, and we are gods. Someone would say, if we're gods, why do we die? I would have a little problem with that question as to say, if you was a god, why do you die? Because I don't know why you die. But I can tell you that gods don't die. See, I can answer it for you like that. Gods do not die. Now, why you, as you say, why do we, as to you saying you or y'all, as they say in the South, why y'all die? I don't know. But I do know one thing. I know that gods don't die. Now, I can tell you this. You die as a sinner because of sin. And the only thing I can explain about the other part is that you are not a god and you're making believe that you're a god and you're just in the light and you're in the rain and water, water everywhere and you don't have a drop to drink. Because gods do not die. You know why gods do not die? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, these people, we're born into a godship and we got to die someday because when you're born, you got to die. Well, that's not right. You see, we were gods before the world ever was. We are responsible for the world being here. When the world came forth, it came from us. See, and we are gods. And that's where the world came from. And that's why all things are ours. All things are ours. See, if we didn't own this, how could we claim this? If this belongs to somebody else and we come down here and we bunch of folks suddenly be born into the world, we say, bless God, we think this is ours. We're just going to rise up and take the kingdom, possess it forever and ever, you bunch of beasts, we're going to kill you. How could that be? Wouldn't that be theft in the world? They call it theft by taking. Would he then steal from one to give to another? Did God actually steal the birthright from Esau to give to Jacob? The Bible said the birthright went to the firstborn. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, wasn't Esau the firstborn? As to the record, yes. As to what you, in your assumption, get from reading it, you presume this in your presumptuous way that Esau was the firstborn. So then he should have got the birthright and had all of his father's wealth. But then what do we do at the breach of the matrix when the hand came out before the birth of Esau and the little ribbon as to whatever was tied on it? And then when it went out of sight as back to the matrix or the vagina, then came forth as it was Esau. Who then was the firstborn? Who then had right to it? So then did God steal anything from Esau? And didn't Esau besides that, to confirm the thing, to be sure that God would be without any kind of blame? Didn't God let Esau sell his birthright to Jacob for a morsel of bread in the time of his thirst for the things of the world? Isn't that what the world is doing? As to the second born, they're giving their life as to eternal life and their rights as to God's rights to you and I because we're willing to let them have the world? has to say the first shall be last, and we who are the second shall be first, or the last shall be first. So then, did the mother deceive her own husband? What kind of a wife would that have been? Supposing to be a godly wife, and she went in and took a man that was typical of the Son of God himself and deceived him? Do you believe that she did that? Of course not. She knew God had already spoken to her even when the children were wrestling within the womb and said the elder shall serve the younger. And when she asked why the problem of carrying the children, and it was like this, then God told her the wrestling was already there. That is, to who would be the firstborn. That it would be a struggle between Jacob and between Esau. And so then the thing that she did in instructing Jacob, she followed the Lord Jesus Christ. She followed the mind of God. She followed the understanding. She did exactly what God told her was to be. And she saw that it had to be that way. Isn't that right? You say Rebecca, or you say Isaac, as to the man or the woman, you say, as who understood? Who understood? There was one thing for the man, there was another thing for the woman. Who was it that understood in this case? So then we see that the thing happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen, and there was nothing deceitful about it. Even though Jacob, as to the name, means supplanter or deceiver, and so it is as to the natural appearance to people, yet in all fairness, it was exactly his birthright. You love the Lord?
Amen.
All right, so then we know that a lot of times our conception is wrong. Our thinking is wrong. See, who then does this birthright belong to? Does it belong to them that are out in the world, the ones that have these things as to the money values of the world? Have they worked and labored and got these things? Did they do that? No, they didn't do that. Someone would say, well, the Bible said riches gotten by labor shall increase. Truly it does. But did they get that by their work and labor? No. Satan got that by his cunningness. He got that by the old tree of knowledge, by the diplomacies of high school and college. He got that by his witty doings. He got that by his deceit. He got that by his powers of ingenuity, of manipulating in different places and working it around till he could get you to slave and put you under the bondage. Was it the children of Egypt that built such a great empire in Egypt? Or was it the children of God that had been put under bondage and enslaved until they built this great empire? Would God have been justified in taking the children of Israel out of Egypt and turning Egypt into an ash heap? Would he have been justified in that if those people had labored for what they had down there? Wasn't it the children of Israel that had built it? And when God got ready to take the children of Israel out, he intended that Pharaoh not enjoy any of it, so he turned it into a rubbish pile. And folks, let me tell you something. It is God's people in their mind and understanding and labor that has built this world. Somebody said it's the black man. No, that's wrong. Somebody said it's the Indian. No, that's wrong. Somebody said it's the white man. No, that's wrong. It's God's people that did it. It's God's people that did it. They're the ones that's been enslaved. Who are they stealing from? When Jesus spoke to Peter over there and said, do they take money of their own people or of strangers? Peter said, of strangers. He said, then the children are free. Someday in the great supreme courts of God, they'll be brought to pass. And you'll see what I'm telling you. So then when we get ready to go out of this world, what is God going to do to it? He's going to turn it into an ash heap. He's going to turn it into a rubbish pile, that they don't enjoy anything, even as to healing medicines. The Bible said, and there will be no healing medicine in that day, that their kingdom, as to Satan's kingdom, will be filled with intellectual darkness as to ignorance, so that they will not even know how to do one little thing to stop a pain or a misery. So then they're just reflecting our light and enjoying our securities, whether it's through medical means or eating or drinking or whatever it might be. Soon, God is going to run an abstract and run the squatters off of our land. And then he's going to bring in the wonderful millennium. And as it was in the days, in the early days, if you recall, When the bad men were there, when the robbers were there and the killers were there, when there was no chance for people to just go to and fro without getting robbed or shot or whatever, people formed the vigilantes. And they got together, and through their understanding and loyalty as to what was right to try to preserve human life, they overthrew the bad men of that day. And they cleaned the land. They come into a lawful way of doing things and to punish the wicked. And they work together. And soon they overcome the bad people. And they set up a law and order that brought in this wonderful world that we've got as to the lawful way of life. But now, Solomon said, I've looked, and in the place of the law as to judgment, I've seen it turn to corruption. What should men do today if they were going to naturally do it through a legislative means, except for the fact that we know that God's weapon of warfare is not carnal. Ours is not carnal, but it's mighty as through faith and the knowledge of God, as to the casting down of strongholds and imagination, bringing into captivity. So then, in that we know that we refrain from the natural warfare until God brings in the nation of the Jews as for that purpose. But if we was going to do what we need to do, we would again form the vigilante as to law, and we would set it up as a law, as a new law, and we would come against this law that we now have, overthrow this law, and get that filth and corruption of the underworld out of office that calls itself law and order, that's just entwining and confusing humanity and robbing them and eating them up like worms, and let the law come in once again and get rid of the bad men so we could have the right kind of law. The right kind of understanding, which you and I will not do as Gentiles. But there's coming a time when God is going to raise up the law, even the true law, even the Jews. This is where the law comes from. Check the history of the law, and you'll find out that the laws of the Gentiles of today are a derivative from the laws that God gave to Moses, and they've been perverted and infiltrated. And someday the true givers of the law as to the Jews, in that salvation is of the Jew, they're going to rise up as a nation. And the Bible said God is going to draw together every nation under heaven as to their kings and their armies, as to their government, which is the laws of the land. And God is going to send forth his son as the vesture dipped in blood. And he's going to let that wonderful way of God be seen until the blood runs to the horse's bridle. And he's going to eradicate, he's going to re-legislate, he's going to cleanse and purge until we have a good law, and we're going to bring in a good age for the people of God. Right now, you and I are doing our part. Our part is to bring in the spiritual law, and our part is to bring in the spirit as to perfection till it comes to the change of the body as to the redemption of the body, which means at that point that the Jews will come in as to manifest this great wonderful power as to legislate and to take away all of the disorders of life, that they may bring forth the true law and do away with these perverts of the law and completely clean the slate, and to taking all of these people out of office and completely eradicating, so that law and order can be there with the right kind of spirit, the right kind of people, the right kind of world. So then when these things are gone, of course, the briars and the thorns and all these things will be gone, because there is a physical thorn and a spiritual thorn and a natural thorn. And the natural thorn is here because that the spiritual thorn got in the way. And the physical thorn is here as to a sickness because the spiritual thorn got in the way. And when the spirit is corrected as to what you and I are doing, then the desert shall blossom as a rose. Then in the physical realm will bring forth the fruits of the spirit. And then as to that has happened in heaven, so will it be in the earth. And there won't be any poverty because there won't be any spiritual poverty. There won't be any sickness because there's no spiritual sickness. There won't be any thorns and briars and the conglomeration of that which confuses and injures in the earth. Nothing to harm in all my holy mountain, because there'll be nothing spiritually That can hurt. Felicity will be bound for 1,000 years in that time. And God said, nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And the house of the Lord shall be established. And all nations shall flow unto it. And they will say one to another, we've forgotten our God. Let's remember our God. And let us go up to the house of God, that he may teach us of his ways. And all of the land shall be singing and filled with the wonderful things of God. All right, so then we see that no matter how much they try to do anything as to with their means of giving or whatever, it will never be that they can eradicate. Now, it's like a letter that I found on my wife's desk. It was from Mr. Bush. A couple of letters, one from the secretary maybe or somebody, and then one from Mr. Bush. We spoke about God putting Mr. Bush in the office and him being the man that would do the job, and that he would be the man that would bring the prestige back to the church. And that the church had been Jim Jones and mistreated and brought down to a low level to where the parasites would quit gnawing on it and they would flee because it didn't sparkle anymore and they couldn't make money out of it and make merchandise out of it anymore. Eyes of Jesus turning over the tables and popping the whip. And then after that, we said that Mr. Bush would restore the prestige to the church. And at this time that the church, as to the true people of God, would begin to come in and get shaped up and get in good condition for the translation. And the church would become beautiful. And then God would take the church out. He wouldn't let them be scattered anymore. He'd take them out. It has to do with the regathering of Israel and bringing them back to their homeland, and that the church has drifted out of their homeland. They've drifted to swimming pools and bathing suits and pool tables and volleyball and basketball and sports and eating and drinking and parties and everything that you can think of. They've drifted into that, and they're out of their homeland of holiness. Real genuine holiness as to their homeland of holiness. They've drifted away. Whereas the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, as it was in David, as the book of Psalm. And it was said that we should not praise idols, but serve God in holiness, as it was with John the Baptist's father that said, and God has ordained that we should serve him in holiness, righteousness, all the days of our life. And as it was in the days of Paul, who said, I serve God, who is the spirit of holiness, I serve him with my spirit. And the Bible said to be holy in body and in spirit. And even as in the day of Aaron, when he had to have holiness unto the Lord, as he went into the little tabernacle of the temple. All right. So then we can see that God is going to call them back. I read this letter, and this letter was just like a preaching. Mr. Bush was just literally preaching. That's what it was. He called it the point of life or light. So then in this, he's encouraging people to do good things. And he placed the emphasis on one thing. In so many words, he said, the government cannot handle the situation. We're going to have to look to the church. He didn't use those exact words, but that was what it came to. He said, the greatest institution in the earth that we have is the place of worship. And the place of worship has almost always been the most influential place or thing in the earth as to cause the people to conform to the right thing and to do the right thing, and that absolutely that the government could not handle it. It was going to take the church to do it. It was going to take he being a wise man, knowing that he could not directly approach the church and speak to the church without them saying he was a religious fanatic and want to put him out of office or impeach him. He used a little system of the point of light of life and brought in different organizations and whatever, and just said organizations in general, but always he come back to the church, always saying something in his wisdom, always coming back to the church. Do you pray for the leaders of the land? Do you pray for the president? Do you pray for the pope? Do you pray for the queens? Do you pray for the king? Do you? I pray for them. The Bible said, pray for them that they'll have the right understanding, the right knowledge, the right wisdom. See, and the wisdom that I saw in that was undoubtedly from the prayers of the saints of God and from God Almighty. And then as he got on down the way, when he got everything established as to making it to look like a uniform thing as to everybody and not dealing directly with the church, he began to come plain and plainer to the church and to the church, and finally said, if you give to the poor or the needy or whatever, then do it the more. Do it more than you ever have. If you've helped people, help them more than you ever have. See, that's the same thing that we preach. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you should visit the widows and the orphans in your afflictions, to give yourselves to God and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Come out from among them and be a separate people. And as Mr. Bush went on down, he said, and you that are God's people, he just made it real plain. He said, do something for your brothers. Do something for the people. He said, do something for your brothers. See, folks, it is true that we all are brothers and sisters in Adam and in Eve as to the first birth. But we are a separate God family when it comes to birth, as new birth in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we still have the responsibility of the beast of this world, which are born in Adam as to the first Adam. And Adam all died. So then we need to provide for the beast. They are under our jurisdiction. They do not have any understanding. They are void of understanding. Even if they go to college, if they go to school, the only reason they can understand is because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the grace of God is there as to this light that the church is giving to give them the understanding to be able to establish places of medical support, of medical care, or forms of medicine that will help, or whatever it might be as to a legislative thing so that they can have the understanding and knowledge to keep this world together. I know that, you know, that rubs the world wrong. And that rubs the devil wrong because it takes all of his glory away from him. And it leaves his colleges bare and empty and leaves all of his schools bare and empty and leaves their head bare and empty of anything except what God has given. Let's give the Lord a hand. That makes it sound a little indignant, but I don't mean it that way. But folks, there is no education in the mind of a dog except what you've taught him. And Jesus said they're dogs and they're swine, and anything without God is an animal. Jesus said they're beasts. Paul said, I fought with beasts and said they're beasts, and some of them are brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. If you are not a child of God, then you are a beast. There's nothing else you could be. And of course, a beast does not last forever. Neither does the servant abide in the house forever, because at night the servant goes home, but the child or the son doesn't leave the house. Neither does the daughter leave the house. That's their home and they lay down to rest. But the servant goes home when their work is finished. So as the Bible said, Jesus said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. This is God's house. Everything is God's house. Heaven is God's temple or tabernacle, and the earth is his footstool. That's his throne up there. And all of this belongs to God, and we belong to God, and all that belongs to God is ours. And Jesus said we're children, and if we're children, then are we heirs and joint heirs. And God, having given us all things that pertain unto life, these things are ours, not theirs. So then we are responsible to the beast to try to provide for them as much as we can. But we're not to slop in the bucket with them. We're not to wallow in the mire with them. We are the people that own this whole thing. We are God's. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, you're lifting yourself up like the Jews did and lording over the people. Oh, no, that was the devil that got a hold of the Jews to lift the Jews up to make themselves to be something or to think themselves something when they were nothing. The Bible said if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, then he deceiveth himself. We're not thinking ourselves to be something when we're nothing. We're thinking ourselves to be something because we are everything. Let's give the Lord a hand. But you can't prove that. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible said we're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The devil was doing that on his own, just like he's doing the Gentiles that way, as to take the glory for all of their ability, education, as it was down there in the time of Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar began to walk around and said, look what I've got and look what my hands have gotten me and all these things. And about that time, the writing began to be on the wall and the handwriting began to be on the wall. And even over there, when the days of Belshazzar, tickle you, Farson and whatever, and it was saying, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. And the Bible said he shook till his joints come loose. See, and had to get the man of God to interpret the thing. See, we are saying that we are God's. They said, for this we stone you. Being a man, you make yourself gods. He said, is it not written that I have called ye gods? How do you believe God's a liar? How do you believe God's a liar? Somebody said, well, I just can't believe that. Then that makes God a liar. Isn't that right? The Bible said they changed the truth of God into a lie. So then you've changed his word into a lie as to your believing and thinking. And without faith in what he said is to believe it's to be true, then it's impossible to please God. It upsets God. Because of your unbelief, you perish. So then God said, through the mouth of his son Jesus, I've called ye gods. All right, if he said, I've called you gods, that's good enough for me. Praise God. Amen. If he said, you're gods, and I don't care what anybody else says, then if he says you're gods, then are ye gods without change, without alteration? Then are ye gods, and ye are gods, not of works of yourself, but it is the gift of God. He hath made you gods by his own righteousness, by his own blood, and you give him the glory. And that's the one thing the Jews did not do, and that's the one thing that the devil will not do, and that's the one thing that causes a person to go to hell. Let's give the Lord honor. So then we are one with our Heavenly Father. Even as Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. And he appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah as they shared this glory, because ye are not another, because you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You are the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. All right, so then let's say this, and we're going to hurry on close here now. We talked to you quite a little bit here. When we look at this, are we gods? Are we really gods? If we are gods, then when does a god get sick? How many gods you ever know about that ever got sick? As the Bible said, there's gods many, but to you and I, there's but one God. But angels are gods. Did you know angels are gods? That's why Satan is a god. And he's excelled all the angels as to his evil doings. But angels are gods because they cannot die. You have to destroy angels. And the Bible said in heaven we're equal to the angels, which means we cannot die. We pass from death unto life. We are the spirits, and we don't count anymore as a body. The body is dead by Calvary, buried as the beast part, the old cocoon, the worm, and it's laid to rest. When Jesus hung at Calvary, that was the worm. That's why he was made a serpent. The serpent is called the worm. And in the old Bible, as to the Old Testament, the worm was hang upon the pole. The serpent was hang upon the pole. And God said, Jacob, I will help thee, thy worm. So then our first birth is a worm. It is a worm. And when Jesus was hung there as the worm in our place, then the worm was smitten. And with that, the rending of the veil of the cocoon, and out came the wonderful crisis of the butterfly. When Mother Earth opened up her womb, then out of the matrix of the earth came the Christ in another form, as to the great heavenly one, as to the beautiful butterfly with its radiance and colors, as to that of the attributes of God that's portrayed, or as to the beautiful covenant of God, as to the rainbow. Now, so we see that going down into the heart of the earth, these things that God did for us, as to the old cocoon of the worm, it went back to the dust. It was put away, for the worm goes into the hole, and into the grave it went. And the soul went down into hell, and the spirit went back to God who gave it. And then that spirit, when it changed that body, it was the beautiful butterfly. So then we see that we are gods. We are gods. Now, when does a god get sick? When does a god get sick? Tell me, when does a god get crippled? When does a god do all of these things? You say, but Brother Pike, if we be gods, I get sick. Things happen to me. That's true. But why does it happen to you? The Bible said, because of your lack of knowledge, of understanding. For I have given you all things through the knowledge of God. It's your lack of knowing that ye are a god. Oh, somebody said, well, I know I'm a god. I heard you say that. I heard it was told that to me. I read it in the Bible. That doesn't mean you believe anything. The Jews had the word not been mixed with faith, that did not profit them to intellectually conceive of this, or to see this, or to know this, is to relate to it as to a natural page with your natural senses. That doesn't mean anything. Folks, do you believe that you are a god? As you believe, as you come to understand, as we preach to you, as you grow from little babies, as to Christ being formed within you, Paul said, I travail. See, and while you're coming to maturity as the child within the womb, so as Christ in your heart, then as this Christ matures in you as to the full mind of Christ, then this thing is to be made manifest in your outer body, and this life of Christ is to be made manifest in your outer body, and then shall ye know that ye are God's, and then shall ye see him as he is, who is God Almighty himself, one with the Spirit of the Heavenly Father. And ye shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into that he is. And we shall see him as he is. And this glory from within, this heavenly treasure, shall be made manifest in the sight of man. Moving on from glory to glory, not to die and go by the grave, but to come to a full understanding of this, that it might be made manifest as to Christ through your transformated mind, as from glory to glory, till it comes to that perfectness, all that completeness that we're speaking of, as to the illumination, as to Jesus finishing the diplomacy, standing in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration between Moses and Elijah, to let us know that as to the thing of the church had been finished. That he went to school for all of us from the first grade right on through, from the manger as to the cradle right on through to manhood, and proved that it was finished in your behalf and my behalf, and we are now the glorified one standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, where we have a natural priest. But standing on the Mount of Transfiguration in heaven, we are already in heaven, translated into heaven, passed from death unto life. And the Bible said, them that he foreknew, he also did call. And them that he called, he sanctified, he justified. And them that he justified, he also glorified. And Jesus appeared in glory to show us that God had already glorified us, and that we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, and what God wanted us to be, he made Jesus to be that from the manger to the cross. And so today we're not in the manger, and today we're not on the cross, and today we're not in between the manger and the cross. Today we are they that dwell in heaven, waiting patiently as our life hid in Christ with God until that time of the change of the body to be made manifest to the world, as to your inner man that is sealed and the evil one cannot touch it. And the Bible said, being born to the Spirit as to the inner man, then you cannot sin, you're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. For the seed of God, even the Christ seed of the word of faith, remains in you, and you cannot sin because you're born of God. He that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not, and no one can gossip, backbite, find fault, say anything against you, or lay anything to your charge, because it is God that justifieth you. Christ died for you, and the Bible said, there is nothing in heaven, in earth, or beneath the earth. There is nothing as the sin or weakness or sorrows or heartaches or poverties or people or sayings or whatever. There is nothing in all of eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, that can separate you from the love of God which was in Christ Jesus. Or that is to say, God gave the greatest love of all when he gave the greatest thing of all. And having given the greatest thing in your behalf, there'll never be anything to get between you and him, because that love was so great that it sealed you in, because he put the very spirit of his own son into you, crying, Abba Father, making you sons and daughters. So you're safe. You're safe like the little baby in the mother's arm. So then we see that God has wrought these things in Christ Jesus for us, and that's why we rejoice and praise him and give him all the glory. And our part of it is to subdue the soul outer man, not so that we'll be good and become a Christian. We're Christians because he's good. And that we're subduing this outer man, that we might make manifest in the sight of body the life of Christ Jesus. As to this healing, as to this eternal regime, as to this eternal radiance and beauty, and this eternal riches, and this eternal rest and peace and tranquility. So then our job is to subdue this outer man as we wrestle against Satan, a continual warfare, not as under justification of righteousness that's already finished in Christ, but we do that to manifest this inward life of righteousness, that we might make it manifest as to these wonderful treasures, as to an eternal source and an eternal inheritance, to where we'll never be troubled again. That's our job, to subdue with it, fast, pray, whatever we're doing, and whatever we do as to whatever measure we put forth, then it will manifest in us, and the world will see that much of Christ and that much of Jesus that we are according to his body, as to the membership. All right, so then we see that we are having problems with the body as to be crippled, having bodily problems because we're still subject to vanities as to this part that we have not yet mastered by this wonderful mastery that's already our eternal reward, heavenly treasure on the inside. So with this, we understand then that we are growing in our faith And we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith, for the Bible said the ministry is set there for one thing, that's to make known to you all of the words of God, of the mind of Christ, as to faith by the hearing of the word, or that mind as to this we wish, Paul said, even the perfecting of your faith. So, in this, we understand then, folks, that we have problems and infirmities with the flesh because of our lack of knowledge of knowing who we are and what we are, and that we can't die and that we can't be sick. Did you know that the inner man can never be sick, that the inner man can never sin, that the inner man can never die, that the inner man is spirit and he is as an angel because angels are spirits, and that spirits cannot die, and that angels are gods, and that makes that inner man a god. He is born of God's spirit, therefore he is interwoven with the God spirit. He is God. He is the measure according as to whatever the membership, and he is a God, is one with the God as the membership of that great body. Jesus Christ being the head of the members, even as the mystery of the man and the wife, even as church and the Christ. So then we find out that if we come closer to God, if we walk on with God, if we make manifest in our body these things, the more we realize this, the less that the devil can do with us. You are worth nothing, folks. You are not important. You are nothing more than a worm unless you have Christ in you. And if you have Christ in you, you are a God that's eternal, that can never perish. And you give God the glory because he hath made you this way through his own righteousness, through his own blood, giving God the glory. You pass through the door of the word as to Christ Jesus and the others that are coming up as celebrities in this world, as to the grace and the rain on the unjust, religiously or otherwise. They will be cast out, bound hand and feet, because they don't have the wedding garment, never having been baptized into Christ. They've never put on Christ. Therefore, they come into this feast of charity as spots and blemishes, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, promising others liberty when they themselves are the children of corruption. And they will be bound hand and feet by the devils and demons that people are being bound with to be cast out. Let me say this right hurriedly and then close right here. When you see somebody interested in gossip, that is a devil. That demon spirit is inside of them, or has hold of them, or blinding them by others that they've seen do this and drawing them to the ball games and to these things. That is a demon spirit that's got their mind. And this demon is trying to excel, to make himself something. Like as to, I believe they got a boy called Johnson that's excelled up into basketball. And like Elvis Presley, that excelled up into music, or whether it be money, be a millionaire, whether it be a great man of learning, as to a genius, or some fellow that has automobiles, as to a great industry, or whatever it might be, or clothing, or whatever. It doesn't matter what field of activity it is in the world. See, those are demon spirits, and each one of them going to his own thing, each man turning to his own way, as to the demon has led him, that he might excel. Because as to you, the Bible said, having food and raiment, be there with content. For you brought nothing into the world, and it's for sure that you'll take nothing out. See, and leave all of those things to the demons. Leave all those things to the people. They're after them bodies to get out of the dry places. And when they get into these places, they get out of the torment. See, and then they excel. As it was said, have you come to torment us before our time? They have a time without torment while they're in this day of grace, before the blood is moved and the days of the Gentiles is over. So then we see by this, folks, that they are excelling and they're doing their thing in human bodies, whatever it might be. See, but we want to do our thing for God. Let God richly live in you, dwell in you, and he'll give you all things that pertain unto life. And the Bible said his blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. He will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. If you'll delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. And the Bible teaches that whatever it might be, as a tree planted by the rivers of water, you'll bring forth fruits in your season. Your leaves shall not wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. But if you cover your sins, you shall not prosper. Now, I've heard along tonight, because I have to do this when I get into a message. I have to do this because to keep your attention and have such little time to minister to you a real message, that I have to just kind of run and run and run and run, and makes it very difficult. But anyway, we're trying to do our little bit, as whatever we can, as Brother Taylor says, to brighten the corner where we're at. And I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Let's master these bodies. Can't you see Jesus? As he is, so are we, and he is God. And as he was in this life, walked this earth. He walked this earth. Though he was a man in his body, he was God in his spirit. And that spirit was made as to God in his flesh. And only in the image of man was he made. And that without sins. He walked as a God in this earth. As a God. Adam was a God. But he fell from that place. He was called the Son of God. And the Son of God is a God. He was only the Son of God by creation as to illumination of that image in which he was made, which was the God image, which was lost. But you and I are not like that. As to the second man, Adam, of that image restored as to the original knowledge, we are born of that image, as to the inner Christ and to your spirit. And so then Jesus walked as a God. When he came in, he came face to face with the devil, he never flinched. When legion run up to him with a legion of devils, those devils run up to him to scare him. He just stood there and solemnly looked at them. And all of a sudden they were so scared they said, "Have mercy." Or that is, "Let us go away in the herd of swine. Have you come to torment us before our time?" See, you're gods, you're members of the body. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Behold, I give unto you all power over the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And greater is he that is within you, even the Christ, than he that is in the world, even Satan, the prince of this world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. They all belong to you anyway. But don't mess with them right now. They're under the curse. Seek the kingdom. Let God run them through the filter and add to you all things, for godliness is profitable for this life and the life to come. All right, let's stand together and let's remember this tonight. Let's go on to the wonderful perfection of God, the wonderful blessings of God, the wonderful riches of God, and make known these wonderful things. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For as it was said, as in the old days of the prophets, God said, "I have set thee to be a light even unto the ends of the earth, and all the Gentiles shall come to your rising." Put on your garments, even your beautiful garments, O Zion. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Lust is considered anything above being moderate or normal. Have normal food, normal bodily exercise, normal activities, normal as to staying up, normal as to sleeping, normal as to dressing. In moderation, they had all things common. Don't be high-minded as to excel up as to the things of the world, whether it be as to celebrities, dignitaries, positions of life, whatever it might be, don't do that. Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Somebody says, "Tell it like it is." Folks, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Jesus walked as a master. Today you are a master according to the measure of him that dwells in you. And if you want more, you can have more. You're ordained to the full measure. So he walked as a master. He never flinched. He knew that he was God. "My Father and I are one," he said. "My Father is God." And the Bible said, "As he is, so are we in him." You're God. When you walk through the earth, remember that. Believe that. Remember, that inner man is God, and this outer man is dead and buried, and it has nothing to do with it. And already as to the finish of the Thessalonian change, ye are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, seen as God sees you over the chasm of death. And someday it shall be made manifest as to this inner God, as the Father of spirits, this inner spirit as to his Son. So when you walk in godly dignity. And realize that it's the celebrities, they're only a form and a type of what you really are, that you are true dignitaries. You are true celebrities. You are true stars that are not reflectors, that outshine the brightness of the noonday. You are eternal and everlasting gods that cannot die, to live forever, giving him glory and blessing his lovely name for what he's done in helping the poor and the needy, as Mr. Bush said. Mr. Bush, knowing that he's going to have to go meet God, he realizes he's got to get everything right between him and the Lord. And he's trying to do a little preaching on the side. And I thought it was a beautiful letter. Satan will take advantage. And the law will come down on it and say, "We'll help Mr. Bush get rid of all of this to be even the worst, as they already bad, but even the worst." But God will purge them after a while. And as to say, God, the heavenly vigilante, will clean the slate and move the vomit off the table. And bring in the real thing when he purges the law from their filth. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we, folks? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that one? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, remember now, in Christ there's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. You're His sons. No, He refers to you as daughters after the way you live in this world. Ye are His body and members in particular, as He is in male form, so are you. But in this world, we are all in the feminine gender, as that is the weakness of the flesh. Love the Lord with all of your heart. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Hallelujah! Don't you feel the Spirit of God? Faith I received my sight. I am happy all the day. One more time. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. The altars are open if you'd like to come. I can feel Christ getting nearer and nearer. And I can feel that quickening more and more, and that understanding more thoroughly in the faith, more efficient for the change. I can tell that something is happening. And at any moment, we may go out of here. Any moment now. Because it's beginning to register in the heart. And something deep in the heart is beginning to say, it's beginning to be broke up. And something's beginning to kind of weep like. That's faith. The Bible said, mark them that sigh. And Jesus sighed in His spirit and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, when they awoke, they saw His glory. For I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And though he were dead, he that believeth in me, he shall live. He shall live and never die. Sing that again. So at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Can we sing this song, Brother Taylor? Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Sing that with me. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Oh, I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Trouble in my soul, and my head was bending low, looking for a place it would end. But an old-time preacher came a-falling one day. From the good book he read a few words. Now I can say that I'm safely on my way. I came a little closer to the Lord.
I'm a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, I'm a little closer to the Lord. Your hand below the light, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to my Lord. For your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to.
One more time together.
For I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down the road of sin, head bending low, there was trouble in my soul, looking for the place it would end. But an old time preacher came a calling one day. From the good book he read a few words. Now I can say I'm safely on my way. Came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer.
One more time together.
So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to my Lord. My heavy load will lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to my Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer, help me, Frank.
And my heavy load will lighten, and my day will brighten.
Come a little closer to the Lord.
Just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my Lord.
My heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you can. You sing more time with us. You really believe it, sing it with me. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord.
Can you give him a hand? All right. Sing another little chorus or two.
Oh, to pardon me if I sip on this water.
You know, I thank the Lord for water. I sip on it a lot of times when I'm preaching. And
all my life,
I've always liked a lot of water. And I guess I get to thinking about the rich man in hell. God has given a lot of water in this world because God knows that in the world to come, there isn't going to be any water if you miss the kingdom. And so he's made plenty of water here to where we can have plenty to quench our thirst. And water, of course, being a symbol of God, going to be great and wonderful waters of life for those that are in the spirit. But as it was with the rich man in hell, lifted up his eyes in those flames, tormented in those flames, begged for one drop of water to cool his parching tongue. Because in that world of torment, there is no water. They wander through dry places seeking rest and cannot find it. Folks, while you've got an opportunity, for God's sake, let me plead with you, don't miss it. It's so sad to think a human body would drop into the world of nothingness and into that world of darkness and torment when you're such great, mighty people made to be gods. And it's so sad to think that someone would go that way. For Christ's sake, don't do that. Let whosoever will come. Right, can we sing together? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Sing that with me.
Bread of heaven, feed me till I thirst no more. Fill my cup and make it whole. Sing it once again. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. Sing that with me. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Let's sing this chorus before we close. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. I want that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's oh, give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. I wonder if the Floyds would come up here and help me sing that. I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Good enough for me. Mama had the old time religion. Mama had the old time religion. Mama had the old time religion. And it's goody. Sing that with me. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Good enough for me. I want that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Old-time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. My father had the old-time religion. The old-time religion. Old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. You'd better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. Cause it's for me, I want that old-time holiness. Old-time holiness. Old-time holiness. Cause it's good enough for me. It was that old-time religion. Was that old-time religion. Was that old-time religion. Holiness good enough for me. I want that old-time religion. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's what the old-time religion is. Old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. I've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion, got that old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. It'll take us all the glory, it will take us all the glory, it will take us all the glory, and it's good enough for me. You'd
better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the
old-time religion.
Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing this little chorus, Let Us Praise Him. And while we're singing this little chorus, I'm going to ask Brother Jonathan Clark to come and dismiss us. Can we sing that together? Let's sing together, can we? And I, can you lift your hands and close your eyes? Worship the Lord. Search your hearts now. See if you be in the faith. The Bible said examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. See, faith by the hearing of the word. See if you believe those things that Jesus has made you gods, that gods cannot die, and that you're just now coming into your godship as to your inheritance, as to wit, to recognize, as to accept, as to know all of these benefits of a God. Don't you want all the benefits that belong to you? You're made to live forever. Have all the benefits. A billionaire has all of his benefits of life. God wants you to have all the benefits.